IVM.
Folks, welcome to Paisa Vaisa. I'm your host Anupam Gupta, B50 on Twitter. And today's episode, we're going to discuss financial inclusion, neobanks for the poor, and much, much more. Folks, this is one of those really special episodes that we do, which doesn't have to do with the usual mutual fund, insurance, and stuff like that. We've done some of these before on financial inclusion, whether it was Spice Money, it was Simply, Pension Box, Labor Net, all of that in the past. Those of you who've been listening in would know the importance of these episodes. Just gives us a broader perspective into things. And my guest today, Seema Prem, co-founder and CEO, FIA Global. And we'll be right back after this short break. And welcome back. So, financial inclusion, not a regular topic on Paisa Paisa, but like I said, regular listeners will know that we've done these really special episodes every once in a while. Back in 2020, we had done Simply on micro savings for the poor. And last year in 2021, we did 3 episodes, Spice Money, financial inclusion in rural areas, labor net trailing, informal laborers, Pinbox solutions, micro pensions for informal workers. So today's episode is on the same lines. It was someone really big, FIA Global. 50 million customers through 45,000 banking outlets. What do they do? Let's ask them. Seema, welcome to Paisa Paisa. Thank you so much for doing this for our listeners.
Hi, everybody. Thank you for inviting me in.
Okay, so Seema, let's start with a very quick overview. A lot of people, I, for example, didn't know what FIA Global does. And then when I went to your website, I was like, wow, okay, they're pretty big. So, you know, just explain to our listeners, probably in a little bit more simple words, about the B2B part that you do, the B2C part that you do, and the neobank for the poor. Anything else that you have to add?
Sure. So just to put it simply, we provide bank accounts for people who do not have bank accounts. So what we do here is we tie up with banks and we set up banking outlets on their behalf in remote areas in the country where there are no bank branches. So in these communities, what we do is we appoint a local entrepreneur to run a banking center, usually in his shop or it is in his house. And in the center, it is fully equipped with ICT, which is a laptop, a biometric device, and a printer. And it is connected on a real-time basis to the core banking solution of the bank. Now, customers can come into the center, an unbanked customer, open a bank account, deposit money, withdraw money, and do a range of other financial transactions, including sending money to any bank account anywhere in the country. He can also avail loans and he can apply for the government subsidies and the government insurance schemes and the pension schemes like Atal Pension Yojana, the Bima Suraksha Yojana, and the Jeevan Jyoti Bima Yojana. This comes under the larger umbrella of the financial inclusion program, which is the Pradhan Mantri Jan Dhan Yojana, or what it is popularly called as the PMJDY program. So that is what we come under. Now, FIA is one of the largest banking outreaches into rural India. We have centers all the way from Uri, Kargil, Kedarnath, Kutch to Kanyakumari. And through these outlets, we...
Just go on, please, because I'm trying to understand the reach. You just said Uri, Kargil, Kanyakumari, Kerala. It's like, it's massive.
So Kedarnath, yeah.
The Kedarnath, sorry.
Kedarnath, Kutch to Kanyakumari. So which means we cover the depth and breadth of India. We are present in all states, all union territories, and around 712 districts in the country.
Wow. So just
45,000 villages. Yeah.
45,000 villages, 712 districts. You said Uri, Kutch, Kedarnath, Kanyakumari. So that's like everywhere. How old is the organization and what's your journey been like? You know, when you started this, what's probably your background? Maybe that could help our listeners get an idea about the motivation behind FIA Global and what's been its journey so far.
Yeah, so FIA is a 10-year-old company. The company was started in 2012. And I was a student in MIT before that. And I was working on this project, which was looking at, the problem that half the world was unbanked. And my focus area was India. Now, there is this special program which runs in MIT, which is called the MIT 100K Entrepreneurship Contest, which actually provides a platform for budding entrepreneurs where they can submit their ideas. And it's a 6-month program where you walk through the entire process of how you can convert an idea into a real company. So you assign mentors, all range of experts. And then in the end, there's a pitching session. And we were fortunate to come runners up in that pitching session. That kind of gave us the confidence to come back to India and start this company. Also, India had one of the largest unbanked population at that time, after China. And so it was definitely a big opportunity market. And so made sense coming to India. So when we came to India, we realized that the government and RBI were far advanced in their thinking, and they had already defined the financial inclusion program and policies way back in 2006. However, the market was actually characterized by a lot of focus and penetration in urban and semi-urban, and rural was kind of under-penetrated. So it was more by default that we got the rural areas, which proved to be a blessing. It was tough. It was very tough initially because one, there was a huge market, a huge unbanked population, and there was no one else. So when FIA went into these centers, people were willing to open bank accounts because they were desperate for bank accounts. And that helped us quickly scale across the country. Second, we tied up with State Bank of India, one of the largest public sector bank with the largest bank outreaches in the country. And that also helped us penetrate quickly all over India. The other thing that we realized at that time was that we have to work with, you know, a lot more banks, including rural banks, Grameen banks. Otherwise, we will not be able to get into the interiors of the country. So we started tying up with rural banks. So as on date, we are one of the largest banking tie-ups. We work with 10 out of 12 public sector banks and about 22 Grameen banks in the country. So which meant that we had access to all the bank branches of the top three branches in the state. That's how we address that. So in some places, especially places like Uttarakhand, Himachal Pradesh, Jammu and Kashmir, interiors of West Bengal, like Purulia, we have near exclusivity when it comes to providing banking services along with our banking partner.
So let me understand how this works, right? Because you've got, SBI has got a fairly large branch network all over India. And like you said, the rural banks also have a fairly large network. So what do you offer to them and how do you help in the entire process?
Yeah, so what we do is, so SBI, so if you look at the total branch penetration in the country, it's around 120,000 branches. And you would have about 2 lakh plus ATMs, right? But you have 6,42,000 villages, right? And now you're out of these 1,20,000 branches, fully 50% of them is present in rural and semi-urban India, which means less than a tenth of the villages are actually covered by one branch. And so the branch density per 100,000 population is quite low compared to the world average in India. So this is where our network, which is called the Banking Correspondent Network, where we are authorized to set up banking outlets on behalf of the banking partner. So now we identify a local entrepreneur who's computer trained, right? Provide him with the necessary skill sets and training on the banking services in order to run this particular center. Now, the technology which rests in the computer, right, in order to operate is a bank's technology. It is called the kiosk banking technology, which is in turn is connected to the core banking technology. Now, a customer can come in and open a bank account just like a regular customer can open a bank account when he goes to a bank branch. The only difference here is that the level of automation and the level of minimization of manual processes that has been built in order to make the model sustainably viable. Now, customers, once they come in, they will deposit money into their bank account and they can then withdraw the money subsequently. So this is how the process works. Now, the entire process actually runs on Aadhaar authentication. So it is completely secure. So without the biometric of the customer, no money can be withdrawn from his account and no transactions can happen.
So is there a commercial angle to all this or, you know, I'm pretty sure you're, yeah. I mean, or are you a non-profit? Just to understand that part.
Yeah. No, so we are a for-profit entity and this model works definitely in a for-profit model because there has to be business when you're serving the bottom of the pyramid. So the banks actually pay us for every financial transaction that happens at the banking outlet. Every financial and quite a few non-financial transactions, say for example, Aadhaar seeding or even mobile seeding into the customer's account. For all of that, the bank compensates, pays us a certain fees. Now, 80% of the fees goes to the last mile banking agent and the remaining 20% is what we use to cover our expenses. So the it's a very low margin business. So the sustainability of the model actually depends on scale, and which is why we need to have 50 million customers. We do about 100 crore in gross transactional throughput on a daily basis that we've been able to manage and maintain a sustainable business model.
Wow. So do you have funding from, say, global, you know, agencies that specialize in this, you know, that encourage financial inclusion, or do you have funding from your normal VCs and all that?
So we are a bootstrapped organization. We were lucky that in the early stages, we got grant funding from World Bank and also the Millennium Alliance Consortium, which is a consortium of the US development arm, the UK development arm, and the Indian government. So the initial few years, we were provided grants by them. The grants was quite significant at that time for an early stage startup, and that helped us reach a certain scale, post which we are sustainable. So we have double-digit EBITDA margins, which is growing at a healthy pace. And so we have been able to keep our operations, we've been able to stand on our own feet, let me put it that way. Yeah.
Wow. I mean, you know, I'm just thinking out here, 2010, you're leaving MIT and coming all the way to India. It sounds a lot like Mohan Bhargav in Swadesh, if you've seen the movie. I mean, what motivated you, if I may just ask?
No, I think the fact that, MIT 100K entrepreneurship is a very hotly contested, platform. Never expected phenomenal ideas there. So
yeah, I'm saying you could have chosen anything, you know, like P2P lending or crypto. I don't know what. Why exactly this?
The basics of any financial inclusion journey or even financial services journey for a customer starts with a bank account, right? So if you look at Bangladesh model also, yes, credit penetration is very high. But if you look at financial exclusion, exclusion is about 50, more than 50%. Right, you have to open a bank account. That's the basics. You have to learn how to write alphabets before you can join them and form words. Graduate them to more complex processes. And that's why I think India is ahead of the curve. Right, they really have focused on this. The Reserve Bank of India and the government and all the banks. And that's why we have now more than a billion Indians who are banked, which was not the case in 2012, when I had come here back to India.
Yeah. Still staggering numbers. I mean, we've got a population of 135 crores, which is about 25 crore households. You're saying that there are about 6.5 lakh villages. We've got about 1,20,000 bank branches, out of which half, which is about 60,000 branches, are in semi-urban or rural, which means that, like you said, 60,000 is 10% of 6.5 lakh villages. So and those are today's numbers, right?
Correct.
Wow, that's a long way to go. Chalo. So let's start with what the customer gets when he signs up and how does this help the customer in his or her financial journey?
Yeah. So the first thing that, the customer gets is a bank account, right? So now he or she no longer has to, resort to keeping money under mattresses. Let's put it as simple. And there are a lot of intangible benefits of that. We've done studies around it where it actually improves the nutrition level of people. Right? Because the money lasts the entire month since it's in a bank account. And so you're able to plan out your, supply of food for the entire month so that it lasts the entire month. And typically what happens is that in most cases, if the money runs out, then, you end up skipping meals. And then the person who skips would be the woman in the family, right? The mother in the family. So we have seen that it has made a lot of intangible it has a huge lot of intangible benefits which never gets accounted for, or just a simple bank account, right? So one thing is that one, you get a bank account, you're able to put your money in. So initially, trust levels were low, even though you knew that you had the backing. It was a State Bank of India fiat banking outlet or a Bank of Baroda, fiat banking outlet. However, once they start putting the money, they would immediately withdraw and they say, oh, my money is still in the bank, right? Over a period of time, they got comfortable and they started leaving money in the account and savings gradually started building in the savings account. Then they would start getting curious and say, okay, what are the other products which are available? And we would graduate them towards recurring deposits and fixed deposits. And over a period of time, you slowly start seeing assets, liquid assets actually building for these customers. Now, typically in a normal situation, what they would do is they would buy very illiquid assets like livestock, real estate, right? Very little, usually livestock and white goods. Which is very illiquid and will not last them during an emergency. But now you actually have, some kind of assets with liquidity. So that is what builds through the entire process. Second, it's a huge platform for government subsidies. Initially, they would have to go to a Gram Panchayat's office, wait for the subsidy, There will be some negotiation. They might get the entire money. Sometimes they may not get the entire money. Waste half a day just to get your subsidy payment. Now it's directly credited into your bank account and you have a banking outlet at its doorstep where the delivery of the cash also happens, right? So a lot of subsidies like old age pension, you know, scholarships for girls, for student scholarships, PM Kisan scheme, the COVID cash relief program, the distribution happens through the banking outlets. So besides the bank branches and the ATM branches, you have about 1 lakh, at least about 300,000 banking correspondent centers or domestic money remittance centers, plus a lot of other point of sale terminals, which adds up to 1 million, which is serving this entire country. But yes, we still have a long way to go. So the customers see a bank account, they see a direct credit availability, direct credit into their account for government subsidies and doorstep delivery of cash, which means for a daily laborer, you're saving on one day's wages because you don't have to go and wait for half a day in a queue in a bank branch to withdraw money. So these are some of the benefits that you see. Subsequently, the government has also come out with a lot of other programs like Atal Pension Yojana, where you provide pension for the unorganized, the personal accident insurance, life insurance cover, all at very nominal premiums. And these facilities are also offered at our centers. The customers can also avail loans and overdraft facility because they have a bank account now with a formal financial institution, which means they are no longer in the clutches of the money lenders, which is a huge problem in rural India.
It is. Let's look at the entrepreneur side, as in, you know, we've spoken about families and individuals, I guess, but how is this beneficial for, I'm sure that the villages also have a whole lot of stores, local entrepreneurs, and a lot of people who are into business out there, but for them, the process of financial inclusion can actually be daunting. Maybe, you know, things like maybe they don't have proof or the entire process of filling up a form maybe. So what about the beneficiaries on the commercial side of this?
Yeah, so one is that, you know, all of them get a bank account, which they can use for, even business activities, right? Which is how currently a lot of the savings accounts are being used for their business activities. Now, in case of MSMEs, the other big advantage is that what we do is we identify these areas where these manufacturing units are and we set up a banking center there and we open accounts for all the employees, right? So now the money gets credited from the employer account into the employee's account on a real-time basis. As a result, there are a lot of employers, you know, even small-time employers have come back and said, you've saved us a lot of, you know, administrative headaches because now I don't have to keep a payment and withdraw cash and come and hand out cash to my employees. I can just do one transfer and it's directly getting credited into their bank accounts. Now, the employees are also happy because now the delivery of the money, they can withdraw it from their account. They get timely payments. So these are some of the significant benefits of actually that MSMEs have. Now, the other big advantage that MSMEs have is that, you know, you have a bank account and even if it's a savings account, you're building a credit history now with a formal financial institution, not credit. You're building a savings history. So there's a trace of banking transactions which can be used to assess whether you're credit worthy or not. And a lot of our customers actually got, MSMEs got loans from the banks. I can give you a very good example of one dairy digitization project that we did, right? So we had in Sri Krishnapur village, we went ahead and opened all the bank accounts. And the first time the people, they were getting bank accounts. So when we went back to just check how the progress was going on, we realized that the villagers were not happy. So we're like, you're getting bank accounts for the first time. Why are you not happy? So they said, I'll be happy if my dairy payment comes directly into my account. Now, it was not as simple as telling, you know, Amul or the district cooperative, hey, please transfer the money. It was a really logistically complicated program, coordinating with the federation, the district cooperative, aligning the incentives because the dairy cooperative's president will have his own self-interest and so on. But once that was done and we opened all the bank accounts and ensured that the money went into the customer's accounts, right? One, the savings for Amul was that the middleman used to charge about 8% cash handling charges to bring the money to the village. That got eliminated completely. Now, customers started getting timely payments in their account and there was the exact payment. So there were leakages was completely eliminated. Two, three, they were building savings history and the bank branches, which were till then kind of unaware of the potential of these customers, started giving them loans. So what we saw is that, you know, a person with two or three cows, would ask for loan for, increasing his livestock. And there was doubling of farmers' income there. So that is the potential of this entire program and the digitization exercise. So that potential is still very much there. So farmer producer organizations across the country, if the entire, you know, the ecosystem is digitized from a financial transaction standpoint and made cashless, the benefits that can accrue on both sides, both for the financial institutions, the intermediaries, and the end customer.
Yeah, I remember before, you know, when we were speaking before the show, you gave this really interesting example of Tata Motors and how there was this contractor for outsourced workers. So could you just tell that to our listeners? Because the Burdwan example that you spoke about is like in the rural villages, but the impact of FIA goes beyond that. So let's talk about how this can actually help organized players deal with probably their suppliers or their contractors.
Yeah. So what we did is, so there were a lot of these small manufacturers were supplying parts to Tata Motors in and around Haridwar. So what we did is, wherever we found pockets of these manufacturing units, we set up a banking center there. We also convinced we worked with the owners of these manufacturing units to open bank accounts for their employees at our centers. Right. And we also educated them on how they can actually, instead of giving them handing out cash on a monthly basis, you know, just do a direct credit into the employee's account. So these accounts opening up actually made a huge difference. And instead of the resistance that we expected that we would face from these manufacturing units, because digital currency leaves a trace. And most of the time people say, oh, you know, no, they don't want to pay taxes. And so they would rather pay cash. It is not true. Right. We found a lot of the manufacturing units there, the employers, actually quite open to opening the accounts. And once the accounts were opened, then the money would come into the accounts. The entire process of actually wage distribution became streamlined and really efficient for them. So this is a semi-urban area, right? Semi-urban slash urban area and outskirts of Haridwar. There are many such instances across the country where we have done this. And we have identified these manufacturing units and set up a business correspondent there. So now the customers also don't have to travel to an ATM or a bank branch. So it's right next to their manufacturing unit where they work. So when they're leaving in the evening, they can withdraw money. You know, if they want to transfer money to their village, which is away, they can also do that at the center. So it became very easy for them. So it's like a doorstep delivery of almost all services for these customers. Plus, you have the added benefits of insurance, pension, which in a normal situation, you know, you would not have the manufacturing unit, the employer actually aware of such schemes. And here you have the business correspondent actually providing those financial literacy and getting your employees, you know, into pension schemes and insurance schemes, protection, wealth protection schemes of the government. So overall, it was a huge benefit for MSMEs and SMEs as well.
Hey, you mentioned pension. I just realized that we had Pinbox Solutions on our show, and they are into pension tech, you know, and we were talking about on that episode about how they provide pensions via WhatsApp to the informal level. I thought that was a very interesting product. And from what you're saying, I guess you're opening the door to financial products and a more structured approach to finances for people for the rest of their lives, if I've got you right, right?
Yeah, that's right. So we follow a graduation approach. We say start with basic financial, basic bank account, get them comfortable doing fast-moving financial transactions, cash in, cash out, fund transfers, and then over a period of time, graduate them to wealth creation, wealth through investments in savings, mutual funds, maybe even digital gold, and protect their wealth through insurance and plan for retirement. So it's a full service stop for all requirements, all needs of any customer, actually.
And there you go, folks. That's what Paisa Paisa is about, right? Understanding the financial needs of our listeners and, you know, for that matter, for pretty much everybody out there. On the other side of this break, when we are back, we're going to talk about, you know, the business model of FIA. I've called it FIA Global Schema. It's FIA, right?
Yeah, FIA Global. So
Does it stand? I mean,
Financial Inclusion and Advocacy. That's what it stands for.
There you go, folks. Financial Inclusion and Advocacy, FIA Global. So we're going to talk about all of that and a lot more about the services and the solutions that FIA Global offers. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. Okay, so Seema, let's talk about the solutions part, right? I mean, when you go to a bank, or to an institution, the B2B part, let's say, how do you work with India's BFSI sector? What do you offer them and how does that process work? Do you have a product? Do you have a platform? Or how does that part of your business work?
Yes. So the Pradhan Mantri Jan Dhan Yojana actually talks about covering all 6,42,000 villages. Of course, some of the villages are clustered with either a banking outlet or a bank branch. So, and there's a time period in which they have to do it. So banks are actually looking for partners, and RBI had come out with guidelines in 2006 saying that financial inclusion can be provided by banks using third-party private players like FIA. So we are what is called a business correspondent. So we go to the bank and one thing, of course, we do is we leverage and we explain to them the distribution outreach and the network that we have, because that's the most important criteria for the bank, as they have to set up these outlets in remote areas in a cost-effective manner, right? Now, the technology which rests at the center is a bank's technology, usually the bank's technology. But where FIA has tried to differentiate ourselves is by providing a layer of technology over that, which kind of helps us make our systems predictive, real-time, and risk-optimized. So I'll give you an example here. So if you look at these centers, they are across the country in very resource-poor settings, very low internet, extremely difficult terrains, very poor infrastructure, right? How do you monitor these networks, right? And how do you ensure that the agent out there is not committing a fraud? So what we have done is we have built enablers into our business model. And our technology actually is able to predict now on day one. So today is June 1st. I'm able to actually look at all my 45,000 agents across the country and say, what is their income going to be for the month? Then it's a question of working with them to ensure that their income can go slightly up beyond what is being predicted for them for the month. Second, sitting here, I'm able to actually identify whether any of my agents are committing fraud or not, which means we've got levels of pattern detection, accommodative transaction engines, models like that built into our systems, right? And then we also have enablers out in the field, which actually ensures that we have the right agents who have been appointed are the ones who are working at the center. The centers which we have set up are exactly at the location where these centers have to be set up, and they're not 500 meters away or say 5 kilometers away. So these are the kind of intelligence that we have built into our entire systems, which kind of differentiates us in the industry. And that's what banks are looking at, because banks are not looking at just a low-cost solution. In that case, they can give it to anyone, right? They're looking at also how do you control the risks? How do you control, minimize frauds? And how do you protect the reputation of the banks? And that is what we do. So we tie up with banks offering a differentiated solution of distribution plus technology, which is high-end technology working using artificial intelligence and machine learning in order to serve the bottom of the pyramid in a cost-effective manner.
Very interesting. And what do you do on the customer side? I mean, you know, you would be having some B2C solutions. So how does that part of your business model work? Because if I'm someone who's, you know, if I'm a villager going to an entrepreneur, do you charge me for setting up my bank account and making me part of the entire financial process system? Or is that free, or how does that work?
Yeah, so there are no charges to any customers at our end, right? Because it's a bank's product, right? So we are just a delivery mechanism. We are a conduit for providing the bank's product to the last mile customers. We do not charge anything. There are banks charges, of course, which the customers have to bear in certain cases. And these charges are actually laid out at the center. And it's very clearly laid out saying that these are the bank charges, if any, and the charges are usually debited from the customer's account, right? In some cases, banks charge 20 rupees for account opening. In some cases, banks do not charge any money for account opening. So it's a wide variety of banks, commissions, and charges. We do not charge the last mile customer for any services that we provide. Our income is solely from the fees which is generated from the banking transactions, which the banks provide. So that is how the entire model works. But what we also realize is when we started off this activity, that customers in villages would come and say, can I recharge my mobile? Can I buy, can I get a PAN card? Can I get, book a bus ticket, rail ticket, even flight tickets and so on. So we realized that there are these other auxiliary services which we had to provide. So we have a bill payment solution, and that's what we first started off by providing it B2C to the customers, but in an assisted model. Subsequently, we also realized that if you look at a customer, right? And in the banking correspondent model, they are offered products of only the bank, whereas their needs are manifold, right? They want insurance. So they would like vehicle insurance, two-wheeler, four-wheeler, tractor insurance, some cases boat insurance, they have asked us, livestock insurance and so on. And so what we have done is we are offering a platform, which is called Finvesta, where the entire range of products are available, including mutual funds, insurance, protection products. So on one side, you have the service which you offer to the banks where we set up banking outlets on their behalf. And on the other side, we have this platform which offers the range of other products which meets the complete needs of the customer. So that is on the B2 side that we offer to the customers. What we've also realized is that a lot of the customers in the current situation are not happy with just fixed deposits and recurring deposits because it leads to negative real returns, right? And are looking for higher investment products like, say, mutual funds. So we work with mutual fund houses to custom design tiny products, which meets the needs of our target segment customers.
So let's say that one of our listeners, you know, some of our listeners would be MSME or SME owners or entrepreneurs. Would you have a specific solution for them that you would like them to know if they're looking to solve their employees or their employees' families' needs based in, say, a semi-urban or a rural area? What would you tell them?
So one is, of course, that, you know, they can set up and become a banking agent for FIA, right, in that particular community. And not just solve the financial needs of their family, themselves and their family members, but also of the local community. So that's, of course, you know, you can just go to the FIA website. There are a lot of, call to actions there, and you can just click on it. And our local state representative would call you and you can become an agent. Also through WhatsApp message, we'll reach out to you. Two is, of course, that, you can reach our agent network is actually available in our website. And so they can just give their PIN code. They can identify the nearest center, walk into the center, and the complete financial needs and services would be met, okay, right, including mutual funds. Right now, it is available in an assisted model. So we believe that an assisted model is needed given the target segment of our customers because they are poorly educated, and which is why they would have to visit a bank, banking outlet branch in order to avail these services.
Very interesting. And you've got a major technology platform and a neobank. So there's a lot of things happening. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so that's the platform. So we believe that neobanking would be the future. And gradually, customers will start wanting to own their own transactions. And that will happen once on a feature phone, it's not very easy. And you still have 500 million feature phones in the country. But there will come a time when customers will become fully reliant, Atmanirbhar Indian, doing financial transactions on their own. And we believe that's a graduated approach. You have to first get somebody to train them. So we believe our agents are good advisors who can actually, once we educate our agents, they can train them on complex products like mutual funds, even insurance. Give advice on investment needs of these customers. And so that is, and over a period of time, they can download our app for customers, which is a separate app called FinTap, which is Financial Services on Tap, and conduct these transactions on their own. So that's a platform that we are building and working on. It's not easy because we target the poorly educated in very poor infrastructure, internet, low bandwidth internet situation. So the app has to be very human-centric design. It has to be really intuitive, very feature light, right? You can't have too many complex, designs, logos, and even words there. And the navigation has to be very, very easy. And that is what we are working on at the moment. It's right now available in an assisted model. Soon it will be available in directly to the last mile customers.
So if I've got the two apps correct, one is Finvesta and the other is FinTap. Am I right on that?
That's right.
So those are the apps, you can check it out. Last and final question, Seema, you spoke a lot about an FI agent, FIA agent, sorry.
That's right.
So if someone wants to sign up, A, where does he do that? And B, what kind of an opportunity is that for him or her in his career?
Yeah. So they can just go to the FIA website, fiaglobal.com. And just register there. And it's very simple. Enter their name and mobile number and that's it. And someone will reach out to them. The local state representative will reach out to them. There is also a WhatsApp number which is given there. Click on that. and you get an immediate callback across the country. What we have done is, I think we have prevented rural, urban migration to urban centers. So a lot of our centers are based in rural India, and these are educated youth who are looking for actually viable opportunities. So our agents in rural India earn, we have an average income about 13,000 rupees a month. We have agents who earn as high as 60,000-70,000 rupees a month sitting in rural India. So they're able to support their families with dignity, and they will not migrate. So you have educated youth who will now are content, you know, actually working in rural India, because they don't have to migrate to urban India in search of blue collar jobs in order to support their families. So I think it's a huge program of job creation, right? The entire financial inclusion program. And that we believe is the power of what we do. Livelihood, job creation and livelihood empowerment for youth in underserved India.
Yeah, folks, so there you go. If you know someone who is in a smaller town or village, you want to give him a livelihood, you want to give him an opportunity, FIA Global, tell him or her to reach out, and maybe you can actually set up someone for a career in that. And like Seema said, actually, you know, not have that whole rural to urban migration that happens. So Seema, that's it. That's a wrap on this episode of Paisa Paisa. My guest, Seema Prem, co-founder and CEO, FIA Global, Financial Inclusion Advocacy. Right, Seema?
Yes.
The website is fiaglobal.com. And Seema, thank you, really. This has been such an interesting episode, a totally new side of money and finance. And especially for a lot of our listeners, this would be unique on financial inclusion. So thank you so much for doing this for our listeners.
Thank you so much, Anupam. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks. And listeners, if you like this podcast, don't forget to check out other interesting podcasts on the IVM network. You can listen to us on the IVM Podcast app or ivmpodcast.com. You can also follow us on our social media. We are IVM Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. And if you want to reach out to me, I'm your host, Anupam Gupta. And folks, thank you. Really, thank you. We really like your support for episodes like this, where we are not doing the usual mutual fund, insurance, credit card stuff, which of course we all know is important, but also other conversations on money and financing. So give me your feedback on this. Tell me how you like this episode. Thank you so much for listening to Paisa Paisa.
No material on the show should be considered as financial advice. The material on the show is for informational purposes only. Please consult a financial advisor before taking any investment decision.